Man, who's glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Come on, let me hear from you. Come on, Rev City. If you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 14, and then just be patient. We'll get there here in a minute. And just so good to be back with you. We were out of town on vacation for the last few days, including missing last Sunday. And we missed you guys. We were glad to be where we were. But we missed you guys. And I heard that Pastor Eli did an amazing job bringing the word last week. Come on. Yeah, come on, put your hands together. And he's such a blessing, and I'm so proud of he and Elisa. You know, Friday, June 1st, he started his new position as lead pastor of the Madison campus for Daystar Church. And so it's just with kind of heavy hearts that we celebrate what God's doing in their life. But here's the thing is we're gonna miss them, but they're gone. They're serving somewhere else, but they're still a part of this family. Amen. And so God has sent him, has prepared him. They've responded to the call of God, and they're going. Eli's already gone, and on Sunday, June 17th, we'll honor them as a family and just send them off well. But just so thankful and grateful for their faith to respond to the call of God. They've been preparing. God's been preparing them for what it is that he's called them to step into. And so I wanted to also just take a moment this morning and just make an announcement, because here's the thing, the beauty about when God is doing something, when God's up to something, he's doing something in Alabama in that church. There was a need, there was an opportunity, there was a position that needed to be filled. And I believe God sovereignly, there were a lot of places, a lot of people. In fact, there were over 100 candidates that this church was vetting and interviewing. And I believe the Holy Spirit came and chose Eli and Elisa and their boys to go and to fill that kingdom position. And I believe they're going to go and they're going to serve well. I believe they're going to be a blessing. I believe that they're going to bring the life of God's kingdom and the life of God's Spirit to that place. They're going to partner with the people that are already there and see a mighty move of God. But when God's doing something like that, God cares about Alabama and he cares about Kansas. How many know he's in both places at the same time? Amen? And so when God was stirring their hearts and beginning to even speak to them, even 8 months ago, as I started just meeting with Eli and my weekly meetings with him, and he was just sharing there's a stirring, and in 2018, we're just expecting that we'll at least know some steps towards what's next that God has for me in ministry and for us as a family. When he began stirring that, God also had in mind what he would do here. How many know Eli's got big, there's big shoes that Eli's leaving to be filled in our youth ministry and pastoral care and all the different hats that he was wearing and all the different ministries that he was helping to lead and oversee here. But I believe that if God has a plan that involves taking Eli and Elisa to go serve in that place, he has a plan for who he's going to raise up here. Amen. And so I'm encouraged to just share with you that God is doing that. And several months ago, even before the details of Pastor Eli's transition began to emerge, Micah and Adrian Barclay contacted Amity and I. And they said, would you come and would you meet with us? Can we get together? We just want to share something that the Lord's putting on our heart. And here's the thing. You know, Micah was playing drums this morning. Adrian's one of the worship leaders in our house. They're amazing young couple, amazing young leaders in God's house and in the kingdom of God. And we're so blessed to have them here. And they called us and they said, would you get together with us? And we said, well, sure we will. And we went and we had dinner with them. And they just began to share also that God was stirring their hearts. And keep in mind, this was before we knew anything about Alabama and what God was about to begin doing to usher Eli and Elisa into the next step in their calling. And they met with us and they said, the Lord's just preparing. Here's the thing, Micah's been preparing. He's studying. He's pursuing his master's in Christian leadership at King's University in Dallas-Fort Worth area. And he feels the call. He's preparing himself for the call of God on his life. But they shared with us as we had dinner, and they said, we just feel like the Lord's really stirring faith for us to prepare to step into something in 2018. He was saying, I graduate in the spring of 2019, but we feel like the Lord's preparing us to step of faith in 2018. And so this was amazing, and I began to see the hand of God as Eli came and as the church called and said, would you allow us to interview Eli for this position? And the Holy Spirit just began to breathe on that. I began to just see, Lord, it looks like you're doing something here. It looks like you're raising up a son and a daughter to be released and sent into a calling that is on Eli and Elisa's life. And it looks like you're raising up another son and daughter in this house to step into the position of ministry that Eli Brooks is going to leave. And so we've prayed, we've interviewed, we've spent time. Micah and I have engaged with one another. And I am pleased to announce to you guys this morning that we are hiring Micah Barclay as our new Associate Pastor of Youth and Pastoral Care. Yeah, come on. Hey, stand up. Micah and Adrian, stand up. Yeah, come on. Honor them for answering the call. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. Hey, they like you guys. I'm feeling good about the decision right now based on your response. Oh, but the hand of God is clearly upon Mike and Adrian's life. They've been so faithful to serve in the places that God has already entrusted to them. And they've answered the call to be preparing and positioning themselves for what God has next for them. And Mike is going to do an amazing job. And listen, I have a vested interest. Our oldest child, Aaron, he's going into sixth grade, and he's going to start in the youth group this summer. And so as I was praying and as we were praying and considering some more, I'm not only looking at it as your lead pastor, but I'm looking at it as a dad who's entrusting this person, this couple, to be a significant voice into the life of someone that's very, very, very near and dear to me. And so I can just tell you, Micah's heart is just after the Lord and after the things of God's Spirit. Adrian is a significant blessing to Micah and to this church. It will be to our youth group. And so I'm just so excited to see what the Lord did. And you know, there will be times where God will bring someone in from the outside. He did that with Amity and I, you know, 3 years ago. The Lord began stirring in our hearts. We were happy where we were. But the Lord began stirring and saying, I'm preparing you to become available to be the answer to the prayer of a precious group of people that you've yet to meet. And it was the precious people of this church who were walking through a transition and praying and searching for who God would bring to lead in this new season. Not a better season, just a new season. And so God, he has a way of speaking and stirring. And sometimes he'll bring someone in from the outside like he did us. But I believe it's so after the heart of God to see sons and daughters raised up in this house. That we would be a pipeline of seeing people discover and be prepared and connecting to God's purpose for their lives. Amen. How many of you believe and know that goes beyond people that are called to occupational ministry? That's God's heart for every one of you as believers. God has a call and a purpose and a destiny and a plan for every one of you, for every one of you. And my heart as your pastor is to help you to discover and help you to be equipped and strengthened and help you to overcome previous challenges or hindrances that have maybe held you back in previous seasons so that you can begin to run into what it is that God has for you, for your marriage, for your family, for your ministry, for your future. Amen. So I'm just excited to announce that. And we'll formally pray over Micah and Adrian on June 17th, that same Sunday, actually, that we celebrate Eli and Elisa. And I went and talked to Eli about that. I said, Eli, I don't want to steal your thunder, but I believe the Lord's just shown me that it would be a beautiful kingdom picture to have you and Elisa here and part of praying over and laying hands on Micah and Adrian to install them into their new position. And they quickly agreed with that. There's not a selfish bone in their body. And they quickly agreed with that. And so on Sunday the 17th, we'll pray over and ordain Micah into his position. And we'll celebrate and send Eli and Elisa into their next kingdom assignment. Amen. God's good. Amen. God is good. Amen. Amen. All right, well, I want to continue to talk with you this morning about growing in God, about going beyond just being a believer, but beginning to walk as a disciple. How many know that's the call of God? The Word of God says to go and make disciples, not just believers. Amen. That's the call of God. That's the heart of God for every one of you this morning, that we would continue to grow in Him. That God's heart is for us to not just know Him, but to trust Him. And not just trust Him, but to trust Him in such a way that allows us to begin to follow Him. Come on, that's what those two couples that we were just speaking about have done. They've answered the call. They've believed in Jesus. They've placed their trust in Him. And it's grown in them in such a way that they're stepping into and following the call of God. And that's His heart for you. And I want to talk to you about trusting God this morning. I want to talk to you about trusting God. That we believe into salvation and eternal life, but it's in trusting Christ that we experience the fullness of the amazing life of faith that Jesus made possible for us. And there's power in beginning to trust God in new ways. There's freedom that comes in trusting God. And I believe that this morning the Lord wants to deepen our understanding about this power and about the freedom that comes with fully placing our trust, with becoming fully dependent upon the Holy Spirit in every area of our lives. Going beyond just believing or knowing that God exists, but beginning to daily draw our strength from Him in everything that He's called us to, every area of our lives, our own hearts, our own minds, the things God's called us to, our workplaces and our jobs, our marriages, our families, our friendships, this church, and everything that God's called us to do and be as a church in this city. That what we're believing God to do in your life and through us as a congregation is bigger than what we can do in our own strength. It's going to require us to trust God. And that trusting God calls us to seek Him and to cry out to Him and to pursue Him and to begin to depend upon Him. That's God's heart for you. To go beyond just believing, to go beyond just knowing, and to begin to trust Him in a way that allows you to follow Him. Are you there in Exodus chapter 14? Come on, are you there in Exodus chapter 14? If you're there, say, I'm there. If you don't have it, you can read it on the screen behind us. I think this is a fascinating passage. We're just going to read a few verses here. But it's amazing what God says here. And it could seem like a contradiction, but the reality is it's true. Both statements are true, and they're always true. And let's see what I'm talking about, starting in verse 13 in Exodus chapter 14. And it says, but Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still. Watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord Himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, keep calm. And it goes on, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Look at your neighbor and say, get moving. Come on, he said, stand still. And then two verses later, he says, get going, get going. There's something to this. There's a pattern. Look what God says throughout this scripture. He says, don't fear. Stand still. Stay calm. And get moving. Can I submit to you that there's a pattern that we can find and that we can begin to apply in our lives towards what God's doing in our lives? Come on, just say that after me. Repeat that after me this morning. Don't fear. Stand still. Stay calm. And get moving. Come on, God's heart is that we discover an act of faith. He doesn't want you to get stuck. He doesn't want you to get stuck. And Amity said it this morning, and I say it often. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're up against, but God does. And God's heart is for you to continue to move forward as we live by courage and as we live by faith, as we live with the peace that comes from knowing and trusting Him. But how many know that God has a plan and the enemy also has a plan for your life, for your marriage, for your family, for your future? And God's plan is that you begin to trust and follow Him and live by courage and live by faith and be guarded by peace. The enemy's plan is to cause you to get stuck, paralyzed by fear or worry or anxiety. And so as we talk this morning, I encourage you about going beyond just knowing and believing and beginning to trust and follow the Lord Jesus Christ towards everything that He has for you. That's God's heart, but the enemy's plan is to grip you with fear, worry, and anxiety. And I believe this morning that as I encourage you, as I implore you, as I show you some things in God's word and encourage you in a new or a deeper way or a fresh way to put your trust, to place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that this morning God wants to come and by His Spirit also heal and set some of us free from the grip of worry, fear, and anxiety. Come on, and how many of you know our culture is ravaged by fear and worry and anxiety? Come on, America doesn't, we don't sleep well. We're anxious about things. We're worried about finances. We're worried about jobs. We're worried about promotions. We're worried about layoffs. We're worried about our health. There's always, at every turn, there's an invitation or an opportunity that the enemy is putting before. There's a trap of anxiety, worry, and fear. And we're the most medicated society. And listen, I'm not telling you today that there's not some reasons that you might have to have medication, and I'm not telling you to quit taking your medication, but I am encouraging you to put your trust in God in the midst of it all. And I am telling you that God's best plan for you is to live beyond, set free from fear, worry, and anxiety, and to really discover a life of peace as we place our trust in Him. That he doesn't give us a spirit of fear, the Bible says. He gives us a spirit that has a that's power and love and of sound mind, sound thinking. And God's heart is that we would truly discover what it means to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, present our request to God and to really live beyond and free of the grip of fear, worry, and anxiety. That's God's heart for you. But listen, that our present tense reality is oftentimes different. And come on, the struggle is real. The struggle is real. And we all, there's different levels of anxiety, you know. Some of you get anxious watching a Jayhawks basketball game, you know. And then there, what was that, Ray? Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Listen, there's anxiety that comes watching our favorite team in a sporting event, and then there's anxiety that cripples us from moving forward into the things that are in God's heart for us. And everything in between. The struggle is real. And I'm just telling you, I think you ought to be leery of anyone that says that they never experienced it or that they don't experience it. But I believe it is God's heart for us to discover and learn how to trust him and lean upon him and find our strength in him, that we can soar above those things. That we can begin to, maybe more quickly than we did in previous seasons, begin to see and recognize when the enemy is using fear or worry or anxiety to hinder us or to keep us from moving forward into the things of God. Or even if we're moving forward, to, here's the thing, people of God, to keep us from enjoying those things. And I believe if the enemy can't keep you from knowing God and following God and trusting God, he's going to put things into your life that try to keep you from enjoying those things. And nothing keeps you, perhaps nothing, keeps us from fully walking in joy and peace and enjoy and the enjoyment of everything that God's doing in our life, like fear and worry and anxiety. Amen? God wants to set us free this morning from those things. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, and here's the thing is, anxiety is common, but it's not normal. Anxiety is common, but it's not normal. You weren't created to live in anxiety. That's my point. It's common. We all face it. We all experience it. And our society as a whole is gripped by it. But it's not God's best. And it's not God's plan. And there is a way by God's word and by God's spirit to be set free from it and soar above it. And Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Come on, he's saying, if it's normal, if it's common in the system of the world, there's something that I've made available to you as believers, as followers, as Christ followers and disciples, that will allow you to look different, to sound different, to not be susceptible to all the things that are tripping up the world. He says, don't conform to the pattern of the world. So you look around and you say, well, this is common, but it's not God's best for you as a believer, as a disciple, as a Christ follower. There's something higher. There's something better that the Lord has for you. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Come on, say transform. The Greek word is metamorphosis, and it means it's the word that we get metamorphosis from. It's a complete transformation. It's going from a certain state into a completely different state. God's saying, where you are today is not where I want you tomorrow. You might today be gripped by fear, worry, anxiety. I'm telling you that my desire, the Lord's desire, is to transform you from that place into a new and better place. He says, don't conform to the pattern of the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. Listen, anxiety means to be easy or nervous about an event, a person, or a problem that I can't control. And worry means to mentally dwell on difficulty, trouble, or to dwell with chronic concern. And do you know that in God's word, there's the most popular command, the most numerous command in God's word is the command, do not fear. And it's not a suggestion, it's a command. It's a command. And God commands it because he understands and he knows better than we do. And he knows all the things and the plans and the hopes and the dreams that he has for you and for your marriage, for your family, for your future. And he knows that nothing will hold you back or hinder you from walking in it or enjoying it like fear and worry and anxiety. And listen, you always know when the enemy is operating, when fear, worry, and anxiety show up, because it's never from God. There's a fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom and of living in this relationship with God. It's a holy reverence from God. But I'm talking about the kind of fear that causes you to be gripped with anxiety and worry. When that shows up in the scene regarding anything, it's never from God. Because we know that God's word says that he doesn't give a spirit of fear. And anxiety and worry show up and they hinder us. They hold us back. The number one cause of health issues and doctor visits are stress-related, worry-related, anxiety-related issues. Fear of man, fear of failure, fear of provision, fear of rejection. And so what you to be set free from something, sometimes you have to get a revelation about the fact that it's not God's will for you. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you're dealing with fear, worry, or anxiety, the first thing that you have to do is begin to see it and consider it as an enemy that is intended to steal God's joy from you. The Bible says, John 10:10, that Jesus came to give life and life abundantly, but the enemy only comes to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. Perhaps nothing steals or destroys like worry and anxiety. You got to begin to see it this way, and you got to begin to say that this is not God's best for me. Worry and anxiety and fear, God has a better way. God has a pathway for me to be set free from this and to begin to soar above it. And that it's existing in my life, maybe because of real circumstances. Come on, some of us are going through some real challenges, real obstacles, real rejection, real problems, real issues. But come on, I believe that even through those things, the Bible says that yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You're going to go through some things. The Bible says that the Lord will prepare a table where? In the presence of your enemies. Come on, we're not comfortable with that. We'd rather it say the Lord is going to completely come and smite our enemies, and then we're going to have a celebration buffet. He says when you're going right through it, he says you're going through it. He says you're going through the valley of shadow death. You don't have to fear. He's saying right in the middle, right amongst all the people that are naysayers and opposition and resisting and rejecting. He says right in that place, right in that moment, that's where I'm going to be right there with you. And you can dine with me. You can taste and see that I am good. You can live in peace even in the middle of a battle. That's God's heart for you. That's God's heart for me. Situations and circumstances don't have to change before we begin to walk in and operate and experience the peace of God and the presence of God. And we get so focused sometimes on changing the situation, changing that person, getting out of this thing, and then things will be good. And the promise in the heart of God is today to just say, right where you are in the midst of the valley, right where you are in the midst of your enemies, just allow me to begin to come to your table and dine with you, and fill you, and heal you, restore you, refresh you, provide for you. So come on, if we're going to learn how to walk this out, anytime the Lord's just speaking to me something that's deep like this, I say, well, Lord, what are some practical steps that we can take? And I want to give you five things. And number one is lean on God. If you got your Bible, turn back to Proverbs chapter 3. They'll put it up behind the screen. I'm going to keep moving for time's sake. And Proverbs 3, verse 1 through 5 says this, my son, and I'm really trying to get to verse 5 and 6, but there's so much in verse 1 through 4. I just want to read a little Bible to you this morning. It says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years. They'll bring you peace, and they'll bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and in the sight of man. Trust in the Lord. Come on, here's where we were going. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Come on, we need to lean on God and not on our own understanding. Can I just submit to you that one of the greatest sources of anxiety is when we know that God's called us to something and we're just striving to do it in our own strength. And the Lord's coming today to just remind some of you that he's got this. He's got you. He's got you. That there's that, going back to that pattern of do not be afraid, stand still, and then get moving. Stay calm and then get moving. That God's got this. He's been with you through it all before. Come on. You've been through some stuff and you're still standing. You've been through some things and you're still standing. He's faithful. There's a God that is worthy of our trust. There's a God that is worthy of us looking to him in the midst of the struggle, looking to him in the midst of the battle, and leaning on him and not our own understanding. One of the greatest sources of anxiety is feeling like we have to do it all ourselves. And I got to fix it. I got to deal with it. God is calling you to play a part. But he's your source, and he's the one that's going to see you through. You know, we were out of town this last week on vacation. We were down in the Branson area, and we were staying at a lake that's nearby there, and we were spending time with family and reconnecting with some family from Texas, and the grandkids were spending time with grandparents, and we were just trying to rest and relax, and we drove past this place, and I looked over and said, what is that? And it was a new thing that they had built at this resort that we like to go to as a family, and I hadn't seen it before, and they built this giant, like, six-story, like ropes obstacle course. And I saw people up there doing it, and I was like, oh, dear Jesus, Amity's going to try to get me up on that thing. Do you have a picture of, there it is right there. There it is right there. And I thought, oh, dear Lord Jesus, dear baby Jesus, Amity's going to try to get me up on that thing. And I don't like heights. And I don't like heights. So you guys know the rest of the story already, or I wouldn't have taken a picture of it. Amity got me up on that thing. Sure enough, I was praying and I was fasting. briefly, but... And she came and she said, hey, we should go do that. Let's go. We were planning on taking a date night one of the nights because we had grandkids. Come on, free babysitting right there. Oh, we had grandparents. They had grandkids. We charged them to babysit. And they pay willingly. So we had free babysitting. We said, let's go out on a date night. And I just knew Amy was going to say, how about the ropes course? And I was like, oh, you know, okay, let's go do it. So we went there. There we are. You know, they strap you into these harnesses and everything. And then they just turn you loose to climb up this thing and begin to go across all these obstacles. But you have this harness that is attached to these metal beams. But you know, as I walked up there, you know, I knew I had the harness, but I was still a little anxious. I knew I had the harness, but I was still a little anxious. And as I got up there, I just remember feeling like I just wasted my money because I'm not going to be able to do this, you know. Four stories down, there's concrete and literally an alligator pit. They put an alligator pit and a boa constrictor under the thing. So just in case you fall and survive, they want to make sure you're dead. So you can't sue them. I mean, there's literally an alligator pit with like 6 or 8 alligators swimming underneath you. So you're looking down, and where there's not concrete, there's water. Where there's water, there's alligators. And right next to the alligators, there's a giant boa constrictor. Actually, I said, that's a boa constrictor, right? And they said, no, it's worse. It's a reticulating python. So we're up there going across this, and I'm like, oh, dear Jesus. I did a lot of praying on this trip. And I'm about to start walking across this, and here's how I'm sure I looked. You know, I was like this, and I was holding on like this, like with a white knuckle grip on this harness. And for about the first 10 minutes, that's how it was. But then I started seeing these little 7 and 8-year-old kids zipping across these things, you know. And I thought, goodness gracious, Thomas, you can do better than what you're doing right here. Look at these little kids doing it, you know. And then something spoke in my mind, and they said, yeah, but they weigh 80 pounds, and you're maxing out the equipment. Which was true. So, but then there were two zip lines as part of the course. And here's where it really got interesting. There's something that happened that really was fascinating. We have the little video of Amity going on the zip line right there. Can you guys pull that up and show it here? There's the alligator pit. There's my brave wife right there that drug me out on the thing. Come on, give it up for her. So I saw a 7 and 8-year-old kid do it, and then I saw my wife do it, and I thought, well, I got to do it, you know. And so I get out to the edge of this thing, and you saw her. She's kind of like running and like going like this, you know, and I get out there, and I run and I stop. And I thought, I got to go, you know. I mean, there's like these kids and people looking at me, you know, like I can't stop here. So I went out on the thing, and I was still holding on with this like white knuckle grip onto this harness. But then the second time that I went through it, a little bit more courage started to happen. Come on, I'm going somewhere with this. Stay with me. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this. The next time that I went on it, I went a little faster. The next time I went on it, I went without any hands. And here's what I discovered. Is that the whole time I had been like with this white knuckle grip on this harness. And really where it really got fun was when you just laid back and just allowed your weight to just rest upon the harness. That's where you really started to have fun. That's where you really started to enjoy the thrill that was associated with that thing. And I just wonder how many people we're just hanging on with a white knuckle grip trying to control the situation or the circumstance or the challenge. And the Lord is just saying, would you just let go and just have fun? Would you just let go and let God? Would you just let go and just let me just, would you just let go and enjoy the journey? You're going to go. You're going to go. You might as well let go and just enjoy it. And you might have to fake it until you make it, but come on, just let go and just get going. And I, you know what? The Lord is just so faithful. As dependable as that harness was, thank the Lord, we serve a God who's even more dependable than that. And in the midst, you're going through the alligator pits and the reticulating pythons of life and the places where you look down and there's no ground under your feet. Come on, God is faithful to be trusted. And he's able to see you through to the other side. And there's something about just beginning to remind yourself, listen, I've been through some things and I'm still standing. And God's worthy. I can begin to just put my weight on him. I can begin to just trust him. I can begin to just lean back. Come on, it says lean not on your own understanding. And what's implied there is lean on me. Lean on the Lord. Number two, live in the moment. If the enemy can't keep you from knowing the life of God, he'll try to keep you from enjoying it. Matthew 6:34 says, don't worry about tomorrow, for today has enough troubles of its own. But you say, well, Pastor T, but aren't I supposed to have a vision for my life? You're always telling me about have a vision for my life. You're always talking about the power of vision. And Proverbs 29:18 says that without vision, people perish. But yes, once again, both are true. Just like he said, stand still and get moving. He says, have a vision for your life that's leading you. You have something that you're walking towards. Have something that you're moving forward towards. But then the same God that says that says, but just worry about today. Don't worry about tomorrow, for today has enough troubles of its own. And can I tell you, the pathway to accomplish and fulfill the vision that God's given you for your life, for your marriage, for your family, for your business, for your future is going to be discovered and enjoyed if you go about it one day at a time. And you don't let the enemy steal your distraction and cause you to worry, steal your focus and cause you to be distracted by worrying about things that are way out here that are really out of your control anyways. But how many times do we do that? We put our energy and we put our focus and we waste mental energy thinking or worrying about something that's out here as opposed to just enjoying and putting our efforts into what we can control today. And I believe that for some of us, today God wants to speak and just remind us, live in the moment. Live in the moment with your kids and your marriage, with your business. The pathway to the next, to the new, to the more is just faithfulness with the now. Live in the moment. Don't allow the enemy to cause you to worry and fear about other things. That's what the Lord was saying. He said, just worry about today. Just worry about today. Come on. Where's Carl and Joyce Burkett? Are they here? Carl and Joyce Burkett? I thought I saw them earlier. Where are they at? 61. I hope they don't mind me putting them on the spot. 61 years of marriage this weekend, right? 61 years of marriage. How do you get to 61 years of marriage? One day at a time. One day at a time. One day at a time. You forgive today. You love today. You don't allow today's disappointments or bitterness or anger or whatever be tomorrow's resentment and disappointment. You live for today. You live for today. You deal with what God's given you today. You tackle today. You say what you need to say today. You make the call today. You encourage someone today. You do it today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't put it off tomorrow. Why put off till tomorrow what you can do today? And that's what the Lord is saying. He's saying, don't let the enemy come and bring anxiety as you're worried about, well, what's it going to look like down the road? Just take what you have today, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything in between, and just do what I tell you to do today. And then tomorrow you wake up and you do the same. And then the next day you wake up and you do the same. And you'll look up one day and you'll say, wow, look, the dream, the promise, the thing that God was leading us to, we're walking into it. Because God was faithful day to day to day to day. Come on, what does God say? He said, pray this way, give us this day our daily bread. Every day, God's going to meet you. He's going to lead you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to help you. Have a vision, but live for the moment. Listen, a great marriage, a great business, a great family, all those things are built one day at a time. Number three, embrace patience. Embrace patience. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit is the evidence that the Holy Spirit is operating in your life, and patience is one of them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Embrace patience. Understand that some of the things that God's put in your heart, the dreams, the things that he's leading you to are going to take some time. They're going to take some time. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Come on. This is important for me to embrace because I'm a visionary pastor. I can see some things. I see some things that God wants to do in your life. I see some things that God's put in you that he wants to connect you to. I see what God wants to do through Rev City and how God wants to bring revival to this city and to other cities through us as a church family. I can see all those things. But the same thing that is true about those kind of vision, that it happens one person at a time, one marriage at a time, one family at a time, one new believer at a time. And look what Hebrews chapter 6, 12 says. We don't want you to become lazy. Another translation says spiritually dull or indifferent. But to imitate those through who faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Come on, faith and patience are a powerful force when they're yoked together. Faith and patience. I've got faith for what God's doing, and I've got the patience to let him work in my life. I've got faith for where God's taking me, but I understand that there's going to be a process, and it's going to take some patience. And patience, by the way, is not just waiting. It's waiting in a godly way. Because how many know that you can wait on something, and you can be anxious, grouchy, grumbling, doubting, all the while? And patience is waiting, but it's waiting in a way that's covered with godly trust and submission. Patience is a force to be reckoned with. Faith and patience. By faith and patience, imitate those who inherited and walked in and experienced the things that God had for them by faith and by patience. Number four, remind yourself of God's faithfulness. I've said it before. It's worth saying again. You've been through some things and you're still standing. You've been through some things and you're still standing. That's not because of your own strength or your own virtue. It's because you serve a God who's good and he's gracious and he's merciful and he's a good father. He's a good father. Much of fear and anxiety is tied to an orphan spirit that the enemy tries to put on us. Is God really who he said he is? And will he really do what he spoke in his word? And will he really see you through? And we get this orphan mentality where we know God, but we're disconnected from the reality of his heart for us. And it begins to breed fear and anxiety about our present circumstances and about our future. And a poverty of revelation about God's desire and his ability. Listen, he's able, and he's not only able, but he wants to help you. He's not only able, but he desires to help you. He wants to get all right up in the middle. He's not afraid of the dirt of your life. He's not afraid of the difficult seasons. He's not afraid of the difficult chapters. He's not shrinking back because of your mistakes or your errors. He's aware of it all. And he wants to get right up in the middle of it. He wants to heal you, grace you, forgive you, and get you going and keep you moving. And a poverty of revelation about God's ability and desire to take care of us as his kids leads to fear and anxiety. Come on, he loves you and he cares for you. You've been through some things and you're still standing, and it's because you have a good heavenly father who loves you. And he cares about you like a son or a daughter. Amen. Number five, pray every day. And can I ask the worship team to come up and prepare to help us to dismiss? Number five, a practical and spiritual way to help us to begin to soar above fear, worry, and anxiety is pray every day. Pray every day. Philippians 4, verse 6 through 7 says, be anxious for nothing. Come on, say nothing. Come on, say it again, nothing. Come on, in the Greek it means nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Come on, say thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, everything you know about the situation, everything everything they're telling you, everything the doctor's showing you, everything that's going on in your life, the peace of God surpasses all those things. And it says it will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. And that word guard is the Greek word phoruro, and it's a military term. It means that God wants to set up a military-style protection around your heart to guard and protect against the schemes and the attacks and the arrows of the enemy that come to try to get you riddled with fear and doubt and worry and anxiety. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Come on, have you ever found yourself trying to pray and you get distracted? You're trying to pray your religious list of things that you think you have to pray for, and you end up getting distracted and thinking about other things. Come on, is it just me? Let me see your hand if that's ever happened to you. Can I submit something to you? Maybe it's those things that you ought to be praying about. Whatever it is that your mind's going to, the thing you got to do that day, the problem with the family member, the financial thing that you got to deal with. We're not just praying to just get through a religious list. Those are the things that God wants us to bring before him. With thanksgiving, to pray and just say, Lord, that thing, that challenge, that thing, that struggle, that person at work, that obstacle that I'm up against, that thing in my life, like, we're not just praying just to punch our religious ticket. We're praying to a God who really wants to intervene and be involved in those challenges that your mind is drifting to. It says, in everything, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, be anxious for nothing. Come on, God's prescription to soar above anxiety is to pray every day. And to pray in such a way that we actually leave it before God. Come on, can I just share something with you? I believe if we come in prayer before God and we leave still anxious or fearful or worrisome, we ought to just go back into prayer. Because the heart of God is not just that we do a religious exercise. The heart of God is that we allow him to come as we present those things and bring peace and bring a reminder and stir faith and give us courage that he's with us and he's for us and he is who he says he is and he'll do what he said he'll do. Amen? Pray every day. Pray until you get peace. Be reminded that God's a good heavenly father who wants to hear from you, and he wants to be engaged in every challenge, every obstacle, every problem, every situation. Come on, can we make a decision today because of what God's word says and who he is that we will not allow fear, worry, or anxiety to remain in our lives, and that God really wants to do something today to heal us and set us free. and to begin to position us and posture us in a way before him daily that we can really discover the truth of what that scripture says, that we can be anxious for nothing. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems. It doesn't mean that you're not going to go through things. It means in the middle of those things, you can go through it and know that God is with you. He's for you. He's seen you through before. He'll see you through again. Amen. Amen. I want to give you an opportunity to stand in waves to respond to this message and to the reality of God's love for you and his desire for you to live in peace. And listen, here's what I know is that there's many, in a room this size, there are many circumstances and situations where you would maybe even feel like you're justified to have worry or to have fear or to have anxiety. But I just want to, there's several different groups of people that I believe the Lord just put on my heart to give you an opportunity to stand in faith and receive this morning. And if you're up against something that has caused you to be anxious and you are having difficulty sleeping at night, you're having difficulty resting at night because there's just anxiety and your spirit is just so stirred, it's hard for you to rest. How many of you know God's heart? God's word says that he gives sleep to his beloved. His desire is for you to find your rest in him, and his desire is for you to be able to lay that before him in such a way that you can begin to once again sleep and rest and trust. If that's you today, just this is an atmosphere of family and an atmosphere of grace. If that's you and you would desire to be healed in such a way that allows you to begin to sleep deeply and rest fully, would you just stand to your feet and respond to God? Thank you, Lord, for just the courage and the faith of these precious people. Now, if you have a medical issue that you believe, regardless of what the doctors are saying or whatever, but you believe it's tied to the scheme of fear or worry or anxiety, something that you're up against, high blood pressure, whatever it is, and you would like to trust the Lord to touch you this morning and to heal you supernaturally, would you just stand to your feet? Stand to your feet. And now I want to give a more broad, I'm going to pray specifically into both of those things, but now I just want to give a more broad invitation. If there's any area of your life where you're battling fear or worry or anxiety, and today you'd like to stand, and as part of standing, just say, this is my part of faith, to just presenting this before the Lord and entrusting it to him and making a commitment that I'm not going to carry it out of here the same way that I brought it in. If that's you today, would you just stand to your feet? And now can just everyone in the room just stand in support of all the precious people who stood in faith and in preparation to worship before we leave this morning. But come on, I want you to just begin right where you are to begin to just do your part to pray in your own words, in the language that you have. Come on, you don't have to pray in religious language. You can just pray to God like he's a friend and a father. Just begin to just tell him, Lord, that thing, come on, begin right there where you are. Whatever it is that's causing you to be gripped with that fear, worry, or anxiety, just begin to just confess it to the Lord and begin to just say, Lord, in that thing, with that situation, with that person, with that financial difficulty, with that challenge, I put my trust in you and I ask you to bring me a peace that surpasses my understanding about the situation. And as you pray, would you allow me to pray over you? Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I thank you for your precious people. And I thank you, Lord, that your heart is for us to soar above anxiety and fear and worry. We know you came, Jesus, you came to give life and life abundantly. But we also know we have an enemy who's on a mission to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And so, and in those places where we have fear or worry or anxiety, Lord, the precious people who stood because they're having difficulty sleeping and resting during the night, Lord, I just pray right now that you would begin to set them free and heal them of that fear, worry, and anxiety in a way that allows them to rest deeply. I pray, Lord, that you would expedite it by your spirit because of your great love for them. I pray tonight, God, that in a way that they haven't in a while, Lord, that they would rest deeply and they would receive in their rest tonight, Lord, where there's been terror in the night, where there have been dreams of destruction and fear and worry and anxiety, I pray tonight there would be a deep sleep that could only come because of the Spirit of God in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for anyone today that's here that's battling a health issue that's tied to stress or fear or worry or anxiety. Lord, we thank you that you're the great physician. And we pray, we thank you, Lord, for the wisdom of doctors and for the ways that medications can help us. But we ask that you would come and you would heal and restore and strengthen us in a way that only you can heal. In a way that's lasting, in a way that sets us free from those things in the mighty name of Jesus. We just declare it today, and I just pray that you would receive it. And Lord, in every area of life, any of us that are living with any kind of a burden of fear, anxiety, or worry, we thank you that you're reminding us today what your word says. And we thank you that you're reminding us today that you're a good heavenly Father. those things we've been through in our past. It's you that has carried us through and seen us through. And you'll do the same with what we're up against today. You'll do the same with what we're up against today because you're good, because you're faithful, and because your heart is filled with love for us, even in the middle of our difficult circumstances, even in the middle of our challenges and obstacles. And we thank you for that, Lord. And I just declare perfect peace, rest over this congregation, over this church family, those that are here, those that aren't here. Lord, that we would be a people who find our rest, find our strength, put our hope and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every situation, every circumstance, every promise that you've called us to, God, we trust you. We trust you. Come on, church, just say it after me. We trust you, Lord. Come on, say it again. I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I put my life in your hands. I put my life in your hands. And that's where the last thing I want to minister. If you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you realize today that you're in need of a Savior because of sin that has separated you from God, his heart, his plan, his purpose for you. If that's you this morning, I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand so I know who I'm praying for. And then I want to pray. I want to have our whole church family pray a prayer of salvation with you. If that's you this morning, you know that today that you are far from God and you need a new or a fresh relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to make Jesus Lord of your life. Would you quickly, just in faith, come on, don't delay, don't wait. Just shoot your hand up into the air and just say, Pastor T, that's me. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these precious people. Come on, church, would you pray this with me? Repeat after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you that Jesus came and died and rose again to forgive me of my sins and make me a new creation. I give you my life. I put my hope. I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. Come on, say it again. I'll never be the same. Come on, put your hands together for those that made that commitment this morning. And listen, I want to open the altar right here, and if there's just something that you feel like the Lord is continuing to do in your heart, they're going to sing this song as we prepare to dismiss that just declares we're no longer a slave to fear. We are children of God. And if the Lord's still just doing something in your life, I'll step back up and dismiss this here in a minute and invite the ministry team to come forward. But as we sing this, feel free to just come forward and just lay something, whatever it is you carried in that was causing you to be fearful, worrisome, or anxious, feel free to just come this morning and just lay it at the altar of God so that you leave without carrying that heavy burden. Amen. Come on, team, lead us and sing this.